We've come to the middle of Great Lent, and here in the middle of the Great Lent, the Church presents to us the cross. Probably my all-time favorite criticism of Orthodoxy was in a Calvinist magazine that was dedicated an entire issue to exposing the hidden dangers of Orthodoxy. One of the criticisms that they made was that Orthodoxy does not have enough emphasis on the cross. By this, of course, they meant a certain interpretation of the scriptures regarding how the methodology by which you are saved, which admittedly we don't buy into, but it struck me as amusing because have you been to an Orthodox church lately? Have you seen how many people are wearing crosses, that all of the crosses that are around us? Have you been to a Sunday on which we venerate the Holy Cross? Probably the answer to all of these things was no, so they might have missed it. But the Church presents us with the cross to remember here in the middle of Great Lent because our way, the way that Jesus came to show us, the way that we as Christians were originally named after, we were originally called followers of the way. It's only later on in Antioch that we became known as Christians. That way is fundamentally the way of the cross. And it's this way I want to speak to you about today. The way of the cross is, first of all, a way of life. That phrase, a way of life, it's probably fairly familiar to us, often in perhaps most recently, most memorably in the attack on 9/11, I think President Bush said, this was an attack on our way of life. A way of life is something all-encompassing. It's something that encompasses every aspect of what we do. It is, in fact, first and foremost, a way. A way is a path, a road, a track along which one walks. And so that way is something that is continuous and ongoing. And in this regard, and in this whole meditation on the way of the cross, I want us to think about Abraham, the father of our faith, going up on his way up Mount Moriah to sacrifice his one son, the son of promise, Isaac, whom he loved, in obedience to God. I can only begin to imagine what he must have been going through every single step of that journey. Because while the way of the cross is a way of life, something complete and all-encompassing, it is also a way of death. He knew every step that he was taking up that mountain, what was coming at the end of that way. He knew that he was being faced with the most terrible choice of his entire existence, whether to be faithful to the God whom he knew as the creator of the universe, whom he knew as the one who was entirely good and just, whom he knew as the one who had called him and called him out of his people and for whom he had left everything that he had. Well, not everything that he had. He took a lot of stuff with him. But all of his established relationships he had left for the sake of obeying the call of this God, whom he had dedicated his life to obeying and to serving. And now God was asking him to give up the one thing that he had promised him, and to give up the one thing that he cared about, that he loved with his whole heart. This is a way of death. Every step of that journey was a step closer and closer towards death, destruction, sorrow, agony, but not despair. Because the way of the cross, while it is a way of life and a way of death, is also the way of resurrection. And the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews, when he's talking about Abraham, talks about this, well, the conclusion of this struggle. Because he says, Abraham must have concluded, you know, given his immense faith in God, he must have concluded, wait a second, God has specifically said to me that this child is the one through whom his promise will be fulfilled. That this child, Isaac, is the one through whom this promise of him being the father of great of many nations and of a great nation would come to pass. And so Abraham must have come to the conclusion somewhere along that way that God was able to raise the dead. Because he knew that God was consistent, that God was faithful, and that God would deliver what he had promised through the one whom he had promised. But it was nevertheless, even with this knowledge, even with this understanding, I have no doubt that the journey, the whole way, was agony. A way of death. So as we contemplate this way of the cross, which is our way as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to keep in mind these same three things. First of all, it's a way of life. And we see this in everything that the church gives us in terms of our tradition. This way of life is all-encompassing. We're reminded of this on a daily basis right now as we figure out what we can and cannot eat. We've given up certain foods as a spiritual discipline. And every time we make that decision to have the tofu rather than the burger, we're giving up one little piece of our appetite, one little piece that tends to control us. We're dying to it. And it's not just food. Here in Lent, we're also enjoined to give alms, which means that our money is affected as well, and our time, and our energy. And we're supposed to pray, renew our commitment to our rule of prayer. And so that means that our communication is also affected by this way of life. The all-encompassing nature of the way, whenever I think of it, I always think of Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid. I haven't seen the remake, where the boy comes to the sensei, the teacher, and he wants to learn karate, and the teacher says, "Oh yeah, okay, I'll teach you," and then he says, "But first, I want you to go paint the fence." He's got this, so he takes him out, and there's this long fence, And the boy starts, oh, okay, sure, I'll paint the fence. And he's like, grabs the brush. No, not like that. Gets him to hold the brush a certain way and go up and down, up and down, every single board, up and down. And then, of course, the next day he comes back, okay, I've done the fence, really tired. But he's finished it, and it's like, great, now you can polish my cars. And he takes him out to to wax the cars. He takes him out. So I was like, okay, well, a car. No, he takes him out to this lot where he has a whole collection of cars. And oh, fine. He grabs the rag and he's just trying to polish it around, like throw it around. No, not like that. And he grabs his hand and he shows him. Okay, first of all, wax on, wax off. Oh, okay. No. Wax on, wax off. So he's doing this through the entire car lot, all of the cars. And this continues. This sort of thing continues. And finally, the student gets really frustrated. Like, I want to learn karate. You haven't shown me any karate. And so, of course, the moment of truth is he says, okay, show me paint the fence. Yeah! And as he's attacking, he's initiating the show me paint the fence. He automatically does the up motion and blocks the attack. Show me paint the fence. And he comes down low. And he blocks that attack. Show me wax on. And he comes and each time he's showing him all the blocks. It was a way of life. Something, but he was taught in a way that encompassed his entire life. And what we are being taught by holy tradition is we are being taught in the same manner, little by little, bit by bit, as we say no to our will and yes to God, we are practicing that most essential aspect of the way of the cross, embracing our own death. One of the things that frustrated the Romans to no end was the fact that no matter how many Christians they killed and tortured, no matter what restrictions they put on Christianity, they couldn't seem to stop the tide of Christianity. We were, in a sense, the original zombie apocalypse. Totally unstoppable because you can't kill somebody who's already dead. With an important difference. The zombies are actually dead and they have no brains. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Far better than any Horcrux. Our mind is given over to Christ himself. And so there was nothing that they could do to us to stop us believing in Christ, loving Christ, because they could not take anything away from us that we ultimately cared about, because we'd already given everything up. This understanding that the martyrs had, the witnesses had, needs to characterize us as well. We need to be ready and willing to give up absolutely everything for Christ, because he is the creator. He is the only one good. And it's agony to do so. It not unnaturally feels like death to do so, because very often what we give up are things that we are, that they have, things that have their hooks in us, sometimes for very good reasons. But nothing is more important to us than Christ, than his love, than his life. And as we live in that reality, as we cultivate that reality, all of the other things that are holding on to us ultimately have no hold on us. And the beautiful thing about the cross as this way of death is that it is also the way of resurrection. Because as Abraham lifted up the knife to bring it down on the love of his life, his only son of his own body, Isaac, God told him to stop. God told him to look in the thicket behind him. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. And God told him to sacrifice the ram in Isaac's place. Because ultimately, if we are willing to give up everything, every single thing that we give up will be restored to us in its proper fulfillment. There is nothing good that God calls us to give up that He will not give back to us, that He will not give to us in its ultimate purity. Nothing is lost when we give it to God to take care of. And so, this way of the cross, this way of death, is the way of life. The only way of life. Because it is the way into resurrection. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, our Lord says, it cannot grow up and bring forth much fruit. But when it does, if we are willing to give up our lives, then God will make use of them. We will find purpose, fulfillment. We will bring forth much fruit for Him. Because the way of the cross, while outwardly the way of death, is inwardly the way of life, the way into the resurrection life of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why before His cross we bow down in worship, because it is for us the source of our very life, of our very existence, of who we truly are in Christ. And it is the means, as it was the means by which God glorified His Son, the means by which His Son was lifted up in glory, so it too is our glory, that we might be to His glory. The glory of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.